Talk, talk to me. WSRadio.com. Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
Cool. All right, it's another week of Comics Talk Comedy. We are in studio.
Nicely done, Wade. Little, that was right on time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I guess we were too early, but I was never confirmed with the swap, so
okay.
I didn't know.
So. We're here?
Yeah, we're here. I thought, I walked in, I go, nobody's here.
Oh, I've been here. I always get here early.
Yeah, I was getting close because I had to train somebody at work, so I was like last minute, and I need to get gas. But I didn't have time to stop for gas, so hopefully my car starts at the end.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
well, there's a gas station right around the corner, so.
Well, yeah, I understand
I can
that.
Go get you some.
As long as I can start the car, I think
yeah.
You're good to go.
I'll make sure you're all right.
But yeah, so how are you?
Good.
Yeah.
It's good to see you, man.
Yeah.
It's nice to be back on
yeah.
the air.
You almost exploded the internet yesterday.
Oh,
that's relationship
so weird.
Status.
I know,
that's
weird, right?
I actually liked the status.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it.
I was searching to see. I thought, maybe Jeff will like
yeah,
this one.
Yeah, I liked it.
It means more to me when you do. I don't know why. I mean, it means a lot when anyone takes the time to do something like that. But
yeah.
I know that you're not really a liker of status.
I'm frugal with my likes.
Frugal with likes.
Yeah, I don't like to just like anything. I like yeah. Big life things or something that actually...
Well, you know, I've been single for like 20... friggin' years
yeah.
or whatever, so...
is she not on Facebook?
She's not on Facebook,
okay.
Which is nice, because I showed her, and she was like, this is crazy, you know.
Yeah. So you discussed making it official? You
had I
that
asked
talk?
Her if she cared about that, you know, because she's not on Facebook.
Right.
She's like, yeah, do it. And I was like, oh, okay.
Okay. So Facebook's yeah. official is big.
I guess that's a big thing.
Yeah, I don't normally do Facebook official.
No.
So that's a big
well,
step.
Yeah. It's
leap
a
of faith.
Step.
Wait, did you ever go MySpace official?
No, I never have.
No, you never
That's have? Where it's real glittery and official.
Yeah, and Justin Timberlake plays in the background. And you hear Dane Cook jokes every time someone likes that status.
Bling, bling, it's
yeah.
a fish.
So, yeah, top eight, you're ready to go. You missed
top eight, yeah.
Missed interesting Winston's last night.
Yeah, so it was a good contest? Or
decent turnout, probably had like 20 so people. But they were just weird.
The previous week was really busy, and
yeah.
it was really good.
There was, like, this really drunk guy that was there. Like, when he first walked in, he just started dancing on the dance floor. And then he went and sat down for a little while.
It's the owner of Winston's. No,
yeah. And then he just started yelling random shit, like, I'm from Alabama! Just, like, in the middle of people's sets. And then we had, like, a group of, like, four people that were, like, talking, like, really loud, like, to the left of the stage.
Uh-huh.
And one of them was, like, the bouncer's girlfriend, so it was, like, weird that he wouldn't say anything to them.
Oh, no.
So Ryan Hicks, like, flipped out on them.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he yelled at them for a good 2 minutes about how...
During the contest? Or...
Oh, yeah, at the end of his set. Just yelled
at... Did he advance?
Yeah, he ended up advancing.
Okay, good.
The rest of the crowd liked it. But, yeah, they were like, oh, this is... That I can't believe that jerk would talk to us that way. I'm like,
oh,
come on, you're a dick.
Oh, who else advanced?
Chip, Ryan, Jim Hayes, and Nick Flair.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
So, how was the rest of your week?
It was pretty good. Did I see you at the store? Were we both at the store this
no,
week?
No, you did Wednesday. I did Thursday.
Wednesday. Yeah, I did Wednesday at the store, which was pretty fun.
Mm.
And Thursday, what do we have Thursday? You were at the store Thursday?
I did the store on Thursday. It was one of the better stores. Pretty much every single person did well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, there was one person that didn't, but everyone else did well.
I auditioned for the host job tonight in San Diego on Thursday.
Was there a lot of people auditioning for
I guess
that?
They had like 30-some people audition for the
was
host.
Was that an opening, open audition?
Or? I don't know. I mean, I think they were taking... like sort of resumes and then auditioning. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly, but because I was the co-host.
Any other comics were there auditioning?
Not well, when I was there, it was just me.
Oh, okay.
In front of like a panel of people, they had a camera on me and like...
Did you do better than your America's Got Talent audition?
I think I did better. So maybe I have enough talent. San Diego's Got Talent.
Right.
Not enough for America. But yeah, I thought the audition went really well.
What did you do? Just read some cue cards? Or?
They had me read some cue cards. They had me do an interview, like a cold interview with someone that I didn't really know.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave me some talking points, but I wasn't allowed to like prepare, just to go right into it.
Okay.
Which I was like, since when is that something we do? We always prepare for the interview. You know what I mean?
Right.
When would you just sit down and interview someone without even but anyway, I did
it's
it.
It's called the first date.
Yeah, I did that already. So then they had me play a game, that heads-up game where you put a card and me and Jazz were like guessing who the other
Okay.
Do you know what that game is?
No idea.
I didn't either. But anyway, yeah. Like it'll say Elvis or something, and you're holding it up, but you can't see.
Oh, so you have to try to describe.
Hints,
yeah.
And
okay.
Then you try to guess who you are.
Okay.
So we played that, and then they interviewed me and asked me a bunch of questions, and I thought it went really well because they were laughing the whole time, unlike America's Got Talent audition.
They just stared at you because you were doing Asian jokes to Asian women.
They didn't know until the end of that joke. But yeah, but they just looked at their cell phones mostly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had that, and then I had this show in Little Italy right afterwards.
Oh, how was that?
Which was fun. I was still dressed in my suit for the audition, so I just figured, you know what, screw it, I'll go up like this.
Yeah.
And it feels a little weird at first, you know, but then you kind of get some kind of weird confidence from it. But then I look at the pictures, and as my mom reminds me, it's a terrible, terrible suit that I bought. Like, I bought the cheapest. It doesn't fit me well, and so it looks bad. But anyway, but the set went well. I mean, it was like a pretty long show, and it was supposed to start. He was told us like 7:30, and then it was like it's going to start 8, and we get there, and then it's like 8:30, and then we're like, what about 8:45? And then it's like 9
o'clock. Was he waiting for people to show up?
I guess so. And then it did fill up. It was full room in there.
Yeah.
At the Estrada or Entrada, like a Mexican restaurant in Little Italy, which is confusing.
That's Richie Estrada's place?
Yeah, it's Richie's place. He comes 5 hours across to man it. But I, you know, it was kind of a long show, but luckily one comic didn't show up.
Who was that?
I don't know the name of the comic, but so that way I got on a little bit sooner than I would have at the end and did like 25, 30.
We had 3 no-shows for the contest yesterday.
For the contest?
Yeah.
Wow, that's surprising.
Usually everyone's been showing up. This is the first week that 3 people no-showed.
So did you put that weird heckler guy from Alabama in there instead?
No, he wanted to go up.
I bet he did.
Yeah, but no, I didn't put him up.
No dice.
They had this cute girl, like, she was Jim's friend.
Okay.
And I didn't realize that she was as drunk as she was when she asked me to go up after the contest. But yeah, she just like sat on the stool and was like saying she gave up lint for Lent.
Okay.
Or something along that line.
That's
and,
Jim
like,
Hayes' friend?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was real cute though.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, you're
well
cute.
Well done, Hayes.
Go ahead. So yeah, she just sat on the stool and then DW was there.
What?
Yeah. You know who he is? Not Dave Wright.
Oh, I thought you meant Dave Wright.
No,
like,
no.
What?
Don't get banged
his way on down to
San
Diego?
He'll be there next week, though.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's going to be a great show. Can we push that?
Yeah.
Ocean Beach Comedy's 10-year anniversary show.
Yeah.
February 19th, Friday, 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And we got...
pretty stacked lineup.
Tell him who's coming.
I don't want to
know.
I'm going to forget. I don't want to forget something. Okay.
We got Bob Hansen flying from New York.
Yeah.
We got
Stephen Kendrick
flying from Texas. Right. We got Lauren O'Brien coming from L.A.
Yeah.
Billy. Ebo and Billy coming from L.A.
Yeah. Zoltan.
And Renee from L.A. Zoltan from God knows where.
Yeah. It takes a break from touring.
Hungary.
Got, Damian Pruitt. Veronica Burgess.
Yeah.
Bijan. Dewey Bratcher.
Crosdog.
Nate Dogg won't be there. Nick Crosby.
Yep.
Chris Curtis.
Yep.
Dan Venti.
Dave Wright.
So,
and the ghost of Sacrilegious Dave.
Yeah, so it's going to be good.
It's going to be awesome.
It'll be a fun show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tried to take the next day off, but couldn't get it off.
So we got a podcast too the next day?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe have Kendrick on.
Oh, that'd be cool. We should tell him that.
That'd be interesting to have.
For sure.
So yeah, I'm excited for that. Other than that, we missed last week. I did a couple of strange shows. Not really strange, but I did the Study Lounge, which is like Nick Flair's new room.
Is that in UCSD or something?
No, it's in El Cajon.
Okay.
But inside it looks like North Park, but outside it's El Cajon. It was like I parked my car a little far. I'm like, I think I'm going to park my car a little closer to the venue. Yeah, so I did that, and it was okay. It was like in this little bar. But they had all the lights on, and you stand on this little stage. So it's, like, impossible to just do material there.
Right.
You know?
You know, the sets have gone better lately because I've been doing more of what you do, which is, like, really riffing and not sticking to a set.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun.
Especially in barrooms. Like, you always do better in barrooms, so I've kind of been channeling that approach.
Right.
You
know? And then after I did the Navajo Lounge.
How was that?
It was okay.
Was there people there this time?
It was better than I saw the picture of Venti in front of zero people this week.
That was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
It was like Dan Venti crushing this crowd, and it was just empty chairs.
Yeah.
But I had been there the previous week, and it was pretty full.
Yeah, there was probably 5 or 6, but the comics were listening at least.
Yeah.
So I just talked about it. I never realized why... Why do bars have so much duct tape on the stage? Why is that?
They're marking where different instruments or lighting or different pieces of equipment
and
are supposed to go.
And then they never take it up?
A lot of times they don't take it up. You know, band guys, they're not going to be like, oh, better take that duct tape back.
Yeah. So there was a shitload of duct tape on the stage. So then I got something out of that.
So you ripped on tape.
Yeah, and Del Orble's tight shirts.
Did I tell you the previous week I did a couple weird shows? I did the Brass Rail. Have you done that one?
No.
That's another bar show kind of thing.
It's gay, right?
It's gay. Well, I guess the bar is gay, whatever, but I don't know what that means. Yeah. But anyway, it's in Hillcrest, and the stage is like super high up, almost like Queen Bee's level height, and it was like too dark to see, so I had them like turn the lights on, and then I just like crowd worked for 30 minutes.
How was that?
It was really fun. Stella Bay had gone on earlier than me, and she was like super filthy, so I kind of kept talking about her and to her and to her group and some of that stuff.
Did she use the N-word?
I believe she did more than once.
Ah, nice.
I mean, it's a positive thing.
Okay.
You know, I don't know how to say it.
Positive racism?
Yeah, right.
The good racism
is
what she uses.
You're right. She doesn't say it in a disparaging way, I guess is what I would say. The other one I did was I did a show with L.O.B. in Cardiff.
Yeah, I think we talked about that one.
Living room. Did I tell you that one?
Yeah. Whew. I don't think it was on the podcast.
Okay, yeah.
We had the Super Bowl. That was fun.
That was really fun.
Yeah.
Glad you got to hang out.
Yeah.
We had a good Comic Bowl. I was almost disappointed at first. Didn't think Marsh was going to show.
Oh, yeah.
But then, boom, Marsh.
He made it. He got Marsh, too.
He got Marsh. We, like, gave him almost a standing ovation when he walked in.
Yeah, it was
Marsh.
Made the night.
Jerry.
Yeah.
Yeah. He
got a free beer.
Man.
And
he's the man.
I think he had some food. He had some food there.
Yeah.
Yes, it was good. I have no idea where we are for time.
I'm not sure. We should bring in our guest, though.
Yeah,
maybe
we'll
just go continuously on WS Radio today live with no commercials.
But here is our guest of the day, Dan Bublitz.
Daniel Bublé, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome.
He's a junior. We got Wade in here.
Back again.
How are you, buddy? It's good to see you. South Dakota comedian, Dan Bublitz.
Yeah,
almost. Seemed to be.
This is the third time he's been on the podcast.
That's amazing. Is that a record?
Technically fourth.
No.
Fourth?
Well, I was here with Mike Castleberry, too.
Oh,
wow. a little bit.
He's like the Alec Baldwin of this show now, right? You've been on more appearances.
I think
like
that's the
SNL.
Most.
My
is
name
is Alec Baldwin the most on SNL?
I believe
John
so.
John Goodman, one of those guys. But
I
that's you, Dan.
That's our cue, I believe.
It was a short appearance today for you, Dan. We have to go to break now.
But we'll have more with Dan Bublitz Jr. What's your father's name?
Dan Bublitz Jr.
Just making sure. Hey, we got more with Dan Bublitz Jr. coming back. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide internet. I'll be back in 3 minutes. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Film in Diego, a six-part series airing Thursday night at 11 p.m. on KPBS. Film in Diego highlights San Diego's growing film community, diverse film festivals, film history, award-winning films, and filmmakers and talent. This show is not only educational and inspiring, it will show you how diverse and talented San Diego filmmakers are. Think film and TV are just an L.A. thing? Think again. To see full episodes and clips, visit kpbs.org and search the words Film in Diego.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back.
Yes,
the second segment went back. It's even crazier when we have no idea when we're going to break.
That's right. No timing.
Got to be prepared. So, we got Dan Bublitz's son in the studio tonight.
Dan Bublitz's son. Dan Bublitz Jr.
The son of Dan Bublitz.
How was your week in comedy? Did you do any shows or mics?
I actually didn't do any. I'm trying to remember if
no
I
mics
did.
Or anything?
I've been actually having some health problems.
And, oh, wow. What's wrong, Dan?
Well, I found out Thursday I'm diabetic.
Wow.
And that's probably why we see so much Sleepy Dan.
Is that right? How did you find that out?
I got double vision really bad, and I was really, really fatigued, and so I went to urgent care.
Wow.
And then they immediately sent me to the ER and said, I'm diabetic, and I need to get treated immediately.
Now, does that mean type 2, type 1?
Yeah, type 2.
Type 2, which type is two. What, the type you give yourself from... Like what I'm borderline that, but that's why I'm trying to lose weight.
It can be controlled. It can be reversed.
So that can be controlled.
Yeah.
By
right
diet
now they have me
stuff?
On meds. Yeah. By dieting and exercising, it can.
But
be,
you've been doing
be
that
reversed.
Anyway.
Yeah. Which is the ironic part.
That's surprising to me that it wouldn't have gotten better as you've lost all this weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I started working out. I stopped drinking soda.
Yeah. And now
losing weight, and then I got then now I'm diabetic.
Right. Well, I get my blood taken every 2 weeks just to make sure that I'm cool in my health class, too. It's the same thing.
See if you're cool.
It's not for diabetes. It's like, is he still cool?
Yes, he is. Is blood still Kool-Aid?
Yeah. Kool-Aid. Tastes delicious.
So that's not related to diabetes. But, wow, that's crazy, man. So you're going to be on insulin, or are you just going to
No, they got me on meds. They got me on Metrin or something, I think it's called.
Okay.
Something to that effect. I forget the exact name of it. But, yeah, I'm on meds right now. And they just basically said just exercise and eat better.
Yeah.
I've been eating like crap. That's mostly what it is, I'm sure.
Have we been going to the diner
high,
a lot?
High-carb foods is the problem.
Yeah, that's what does it.
And, like, all my favorite foods are high-carb foods.
That's everyone's, right? Everybody's
pizza,
favorite.
Pastas.
You needed a break after the festival, though, I imagine. That take a lot of work out of you?
It did.
Yeah.
That's exhausting. So are you also done with the festival?
No,
you,
I'm not.
You're not done with the festival.
No, I am going to
still be
the festival director.
So why did Brandon quit the festival? I mean, if you can disclose that. You're partners
with
him, right?
I think he just wants to concentrate on his career now.
But I immediately see him starting up some new, like he wants to start a new thing.
It's a conference. It's not a festival.
Okay.
There's a different, it's way different. It's basically more of a whole weekend.
Did he just get tired of dealing with the palace and Zach?
I'm sure that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it's that. I know he really wants to concentrate more on being a Christian comic and doing more churches and going that route.
Hella holy. Mm-hmm. So, those two words don't go together.
Hella holy.
How would you compare this year's festival to years in past?
Yeah.
It just keeps getting better. This year was great. I mean, we had a minor setback. But
you had one cancellation, but then
it wasn't our fault.
Right.
I mean,
you filled it
out of our hands.
Right?
Yeah, it was...
I mean, it was packed in there. I thought
it was
packed.
Yeah, all
the
shows
festival.
Were good. There was a couple showcases that were light audience-wise, but that was because of the headliner that we had brought in bumped a bunch of our shows, so we had to reschedule some time slots.
Gotcha.
Because of that, we didn't have as many people at these couple showcases.
But
then he ended up canceling, so then...
Yeah.
The main shows, they were all packed.
But it was equally successful financially and all that sort of thing for the palace and for you guys. I mean, it was busier than the previous year.
Yeah, it was busier than the previous year. I'm not sure where we stand financially, but we're still building our reputation.
Mm-hmm.
So to them, it's an investment.
Gotcha.
Too, because we had better industry this year.
Really? What did you?
Yeah, we had.
Stuff, yeah.
We had. Tony Camacho, who used to be the GM for Brad Garrett's comedy club.
Sounds like a pro wrestler name, doesn't it?
Sounds scary.
Macho Camacho. Wasn't his name Macho Camacho?
I don't know.
Okay. We had a
you would know that. Aren't you a pro wrestling guy?
I am. It sounds like
was
it
there a Macho Camacho? Okay, maybe not.
I don't know.
I'll have to ask
Bob
when he's here.
And we had some TV producers. We had people that own comedy clubs.
Awesome.
So that was good.
Who had the best set of the festival?
Yeah.
Of the festival?
I would assume the guy that won, right? Wasn't it Jerry Garcia?
He was good. Jerry Garcia was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, he did what you needed to do. He was just pretty much all punch, You just go in there and...
No setup, no middle, just goes,
does
punchlines?
Boom,
nice.
Get as many laughs as you can.
Right.
Get as many laughs as you can. Well, yeah.
It was kind of like last year. I don't know if you guys saw Dale Jones.
Oh, my God.
I looked him up.
Last
year. Dale Jones was like a machine gun of comedy. Yeah.
That's kind of what you have to do in contests like that.
He annihilated. I mean, when I watched him in there, I was like, how is this dude against... he was so pro. Like, he just looked like a guy who had been doing it for 100 years.
And he had.
Yeah.
It was just, for him, it was a way of, he needed to get his, he just moved to the West Coast and needed to get his name out there.
Man.
And so he was just ripping it up at festivals, and he got his name out there.
Yeah. Does he have any TV credits?
Dale Jones?
Yeah.
I'm honestly not sure. I don't know that he did.
I think he would. It's like a human cartoon or something.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was
a little too much for me.
He
got a standing ovation in the semifinals.
Wow.
And he wasn't even the last one up.
Yeah,
like, it was like in the middle of the
crushing,
show.
That's crazy.
Murdering.
Yeah.
Who had the worst set of the festival?
It's Brandon.
Brandon?
Probably me.
Yeah.
Bad sets hosting.
Warming up?
Yeah.
But that's a tough spot because they're there for a contest, right?
It is. Yeah. And it's a weird transition to go through the rules and then try to do jokes. Because it's like you're basically being like, hey, you got to follow these rules.
Well, why don't you do the rules at the end of your set?
Maybe that's an idea.
Repeat all of Zach Miller's rules.
There you go. What?
If you have a pager, if you sell crack,
that's one thing I have to say about Zach is that that doing that and making the rules as part of the act and making it funny, people aren't, I don't think they get as, you know, standoffish.
Yeah.
As if you're just out there telling them what they have to do.
People hate rules.
They do.
They hate
rules.
And
they think you're joking, because at the store you got to tell them if you parked at Vaughn's, you want to make sure you move your car.
Right.
And I, all the time people are like, is that a joke? Are you serious about that?
You serious about that?
Well, they just think it's all
you want to find out. Don't go move your car.
The hilarious punchline is a ticket and you getting towed. Yeah.
So that's always interesting.
Wow.
But yeah, so you wanted to be on the podcast to talk about your move to the South Dakota.
I am. That's true.
That is quite a change.
And soon, right?
Yeah, well, two weeks.
Where are you going to stay when you move? Do you have family?
I have friends and family out there. Yeah. So
and you were there on your tour, correct? You went there?
Yeah, I went there during my tour. Yep.
The tour ended there, or?
No, it ended in Arizona.
And then in Arizona.
Yeah.
Okay. And it went so well on the tour that you thought about going back?
I did. Well, because for one, I like the Midwest. I like being home. It was nice being home and in the area. It's a lot different pace than it is out here.
Faster or slower out there?
Slower.
Okay.
More laid back, more my pace. Okay. I mean, I like fast pace, but it I've been here almost 5 years. I don't know. I'm just kind of getting tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
Need something different. And there's more paid gigs in the Midwest. That's what a lot of people in comedy, at least in Southern California, they don't realize. They think in order to make it in comedy, you have to be in L.A. Well, right. That's true if you want to get on TV and get into movies, but if you just want to go do comedy and get paid to do comedy, that's not where you want to go.
Right.
You want to go to where there's gigs, and that's the approach that I want to take. I'm going out there to try to pursue comedy full-time.
Are you going to try to sell your CDs on the road?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I my last one that I recorded turned out good, but I'm my own worst critic, and I only...
Are you? I think there's a lot of people that are very critical.
I'm my own worst critic.
I don't know.
Are you?
It's true. You're right. There are a lot. I do have a lot of haters.
You got haters, bro.
Haters. That's right.
What do they post in Stand Up Comedians page? Was like, it's one last time to roast Dan, and then everyone's just chiming in.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Roasting away.
Where was that? Was that in the connection?
Yeah, I think it was in the connection page. Jad's posted that.
Sometimes we post just there because there's like twice as many people in there. I don't know why there's two groups, you know?
I got to get in the other one. I'm not in the other one. I don't know how you get added.
I got to join you. I don't know how, but I'll
go
to the other one.
Who's the administrator?
I don't know.
Of which one?
Is it you?
Of the connection one? I am.
You're the
big one. I actually
started.
Yeah, I started the connection page just because the comedy page for the longest time, the other one.
But they're both like identical really now.
Well, yeah.
I heard there's more gossip than the other one.
Well, there's more people in the connection. There's like twice as many people.
It's set up for not just for comics, but it's comics and fans. That was the idea, as a play, you know, a connection, comedy connection, where fans of comedy could find shows,
okay.
Comics could, you know, post their stuff. That kind of thing was the idea. Plus, there was so much just flaming and trolling in the other page.
What's flaming mean?
Flaming? Just
it's
like,
gay trolling.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Like they just tagged you. You look fabulous.
Same
oh,
thing
I love this flaming trolling.
Name calling and trolling.
But it seems like that's what the connection is now.
It's kind of
like
getting a little...
A big thing with Poston dropped the thing you have the...
Oh, that was just...
Oh, that was just all attacks on me, just because I had an opinion about it.
Oh, well, that was like a thread where it was like, hey, we're at the Madhouse, we have open mic every night, but we want you guys to sit in the pit. So if you're not going to sit in the pit, don't sign up for the open mic.
Because if you don't sit in the pit, you don't get to go up.
Right, that's the idea is there's nobody there to watch this open mic, so we got to be our own audience, which I think is completely fair. If they're going to throw an open mic for the comics, why not do that? And then... the people were arguing about it, whatever.
No, they're just arguing about what I said.
What did you say?
I just made a point about it. I didn't even say it was a bad rule.
Right.
I just simply pointed out that it wasn't very comic-friendly. And they always say that they're comic-friendly, and that's all I did. I just pointed out. I said, forcing somebody to do something they don't want to and not give and telling them then they can't be on the open mic if they don't sit in the pit isn't comic-friendly.
Right.
It just doesn't appear comic-friendly. That's what I said.
What do you think, Jeff?
Does it appear comic friendly?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
But I understand why they want to do it.
Oh, and I do too. Yeah, that's exactly it. I totally get it. I'm all for supporting each other. And then everybody just like that worked at the Madhouse just just
well, I mean, who doesn't work at the madhouse now?
That's true. But I mean, I think, you know, the devil's advocate side is just having an open mic is comic friendly. Just having an opportunity for people to come up, especially that it's every night of the week, is so comic friendly that I feel like they bend over backwards for the comics and don't do much for their own business. I mean, they got to keep employees there for comics that aren't going to buy anything.
Right.
I feel like, you know, just to play devil's advocate, that it is, they've been so comic friendly that this is sort of a, you know, acceptable thing.
Oh, I think it's acceptable. I totally do. Even Derek never said one thing to me. Me and Derek.
No, I know. Yeah. Derek just posted it and got out.
Yeah. And Derek and I are on the same, like, he even knows, I even talked to him about it. Like, after everybody, like, went out.
Another person that did very well in the festival, Derek Poston, correct?
Yeah, he got second place.
Came in second place.
Second place.
He was really representing for San Diego. Ebo came in third place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And James Schrader was fourth, right?
Yep.
So San Diego was representing.
Well represented.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, we got more with D Boobs coming back.
Yeah.
Can you do stick around through the break?
I suppose.
All right, we'll be back. You're listening to WS Radio, the worldwide internet.com. Be back in 3 minutes. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Film in Diego, a 6-part series airing Thursday night at 11 p.m. on KPBS. Film in Diego highlights San Diego's growing film community, diverse film festivals, film history, award-winning films, and filmmakers and talent. This show is not only educational and inspiring, it will show you how diverse and talented San Diego filmmakers are. Think film and TV are just an L.A. thing? Think again. To see full episodes and clips, visit kpbs.org and search the words Film in Diego.
Talk, talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Third segment already. So, Dan, are you planning to make trips back to San Diego? I mean, more than the festival or just maybe just for the festival?
I mean, maybe. Well, I mean, it just depends on what I got going on. I mean, I'm still working on redoing my electronic press kit, and I'm rebuilding my website. I'm a little behind as compared to my move, but I'm still getting that, and it depends on work. Once I start getting out there and doing jobs and, you know, getting gigs and stuff, because I'm also going to produce out there too. So
you're just focusing on comedy. You're not going to get like a day job.
Probably get a day job to start while I'm out there, just to hold me over, because I'll need some money. But eventually, comedy is where I'm going, to where I'm doing that full time.
Okay.
I might do some side stuff. I work for estate liquidation right now here in San Diego. I may do some of the same things there. You know, something similar where I'm going to thrift stores and buying stuff and flipping it on the internet. Because I know a lot about just what stuff is worth. So.
Are you going to create a South Dakota comedians page out there?
Oh, you know it. Actually, I think there already is one.
Is there?
Mm. Yeah, there's a
few. Seven members?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, there's like seven of us.
Is there a thriving comedy scene in South Dakota?
There's a few comics out there. I mean, there's a scene.
Is there clubs?
I mean, there was, but it closed down. Like, it wasn't like its own club. It was kind of like what Brandon and I did, where it was inside another
failed kind
of thing. It was like what Brandon and I did. It failed. Closed down.
Failed. That's right. God. What Brandon and I did, failed.
Jeff is just here to roast
you. He is.
You.
He's just like, hey. He's like, yeah, I'll have him on the show one more time.
You
I just want to roast
though,
him.
You keep setting him up.
I do.
He's knocking
him
down.
It's all right.
Man.
It's all right. I'm glad he's quick.
He's quick.
We didn't fail, because we tried, damn it.
Yeah.
We did something.
I tried it. America's Got Talent too, but anyway.
So did I.
How was your experience in America?
Mine was a lot different than his, because they let us go for like 4 or 5 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, every one of us.
Going.
And you had the VIP treatment too, didn't you?
Well, it didn't seem like it was going to be, but yeah, because when we first got there, nobody knew. They were like, oh, you just got to go sit in the hall.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally we found out who we needed to talk to, and then we got in. But
okay.
But there was a group of you, and there was people laughing.
Yeah, because we went in as a group.
Much different experience.
And there was like five of us.
Who else was in the group?
I was with Eric Knowles and Isaac Allen.
Okay.
And then Robert Rodriguez. He was a guy from L.A. Mm-hmm. And then some magician from Hawaii.
Okay.
And
eclectic mix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And it went well for everybody.
Except the magician.
Didn't do well.
No,
it was horrible.
Did he levitate?
He tried to levitate.
I think Knowles
where basically
told me that.
He had a step stool, like a step ladder, and he stood on the ladder, and he was wearing a big Matrix like trench coat. So, you know, he was just basically stepping off the ladder to make it look like he was, and then step back on. And then the whole time he had music playing, he had this big contraption that he made to have little two little speakers hanging from it.
Mm.
It was this big, tall, like almost like a, you know, you thought it was going to be lights or something.
Yeah.
And it was just to hang his speakers on for his cell phone to play music. And the whole time, he's like got a $5 bill in his hand, and he's just playing with the $5 bill, like folding it, and not even doing tricks.
To distract
just
you from?
Distract him, yeah.
While
to
you're
use
levitating?
That to distract while he steps up the stool and steps off of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did he advance?
I doubt it.
America's Got Stool.
Did any of you guys advance or make it to a next
round? They didn't tell us.
Did any of the comics be like, hey, man, I got to do stand-up now. Can I borrow your stupid stool?
They should have been. He went up last, so.
Headlined.
He headlined.
So did they say they're going to get back to you?
Yeah, they said, well, if you get on, they'll get back to us at the end of February because the next auditions are in front of the celebrity judges and they start in March.
Okay.
However, I think the Robert Rodriguez guy, I think he's advancing because he actually, they had us go out.
The magician?
Then, no.
Oh,
the comedian from L.A.
Okay.
And then they had him come back in and talk to them. And then they told him to wait because they wanted him to talk. They wanted him to talk to some other producers.
Wanted to find out if he could levitate.
Yeah. Maybe.
Totally.
No, he could do this weird trick with his stomach where he could make his stomach jiggle. Or flex. But he had it mixed in with his comedy, so it was really funny. So he had really good physical comedy, which that's the kind of stuff that they look for. Weird
story
like that, you know? Like he
getting jiggly with it.
Yeah.
But he was still funny, so I mean it wasn't just all that, but yeah.
That's pretty
cool. Physical comedy I think definitely helped him.
Yeah. Mm.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
So do you have any gigs already lined up in South Dakota?
I do not. Well, I have a couple, I guess. I'm doing not in South Dakota, but I'm doing Laugh Fest in Michigan in March, which is a festival. And I'm hoping if I do well there, the people that run that festival run one of the biggest booking companies in the Midwest. Funny business. So I'm trying to get on with them to help get more gigs. And then I'm hosting a comic book convention. Yes, I'm doing emceeing and comedy at a comedy or a comic convention.
Is that a paid thing?
No.
Okay.
It kind of is. I get in free and
they
I get some
look
other
at the comic books.
I get some other stuff. That
he's avoiding the question.
He doesn't want to read the comic books.
Oh, for sure, I'm gonna read comic. That's why I'm going. I would have been going to the thing anyway.
Yeah.
So I reached out to see if I wanted to, because I do comedy at conventions, at comic book conventions and anime conventions. It's a lot of fun because they're really appreciative of comedy and just like it's always a good time. I've never had a bad.
Did you see the Deadpool movie? Did that come out already?
I went last night.
How was it?
Amazing.
It was awesome.
See everyone talk. I have no idea what that is.
Well, tell them.
Best Marvel movie they've made.
Are you serious?
I think
it's better than the Avengers.
I think so, but I'm also a huge Deadpool fan too. So
a lot of people, a lot of cult fans of Deadpool.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I mean,
he's an anti-hero. That's kind of the thing.
I remember the Deadpool. The only thing I remember about Deadpool was he was a character that broke the wall and talked to the audience. Meaning, like, as a comic book character, he recognized he was a comic book character.
Yep.
And then would talk to you and be like, yeah, this is crazy, right? And that was just weird and different than any other comic
book. This is something that's been around a long time.
Yeah, for a while, And then, Brian Posehn actually wrote Deadpool for a while.
Right.
Because that's the other thing. He's a very comedic character. A lot of, like, one-liners and jokes and just stuff that he said.
Reminded me of Spider-Man. I used to grow up reading Spider-Man, and so Deadpool to me was a rip-off of Spider-Man. That was just my opinion.
But more mature. That's the difference.
I mean, dirtier.
Dirtier. So he's more for a mature audience. And that's why this is the first comic book movie that's rated R, too. So, and it was great. It had great action. Ryan Reynolds was amazing as the part.
He plays, like, every superhero now,
don't you see his penis?
Maybe. I guess I wasn't.
Jeez.
Well, I saw there was a Facebook thread that said that Ryan Reynolds has the most amazing penis. So I don't know if it was in that movie.
It's weird that it would be in a Marvel movie.
I don't remember seeing his penis, but.
Okay. I think you would remember that if it was in a Marvel movie.
Yeah. I don't know what movie.
He whips his penis, and then fucking Stan Lee comes out and is like, that's a nice penis.
I don't know if Stan Lee.
Stan Lee had the best cameo in that movie.
He's in all those Marvel. He created Marvel Comics.
Oh, okay.
And so he's in like all their movies.
He does a cameo in every Marvel movie.
Is he Asian?
No.
He's just old.
I think Stan Lee is like Leibowitz or something. You know, it's like a shortened version of his real name.
So Wanda sound Asian?
Yes. He wanted to. He's like,
it's like that Seinfeld episode.
Right. What was her name?
Something Chang.
Lisa Chang?
Yeah. You're not Asian. You're not Chinese. I'm getting a divorce.
And she's like, I'm not trying to pretend. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
He's like, did you just say ridiculous?
Are you a Seinfeld guy, Dan?
I'm not, actually. I mean, I watched a few episodes of the show, and I mean, I'm not a fan of his comedy, but as a comedian, I respect him. I mean, he's been around for a long time, but just not my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
great show.
I watched some of his his old jokes and stuff like that, and like those are jokes that like I've thought of, and I was like, oh, this is a little too easy, you know. And it's weird that like one of the biggest comics ever like does that joke, and I was like, it's just like Zach Galifianakis. He did a joke that I had written. I tried a couple of times, and I was like, this doesn't work. But he did in his special, like, so I'm thinking about giving up cold turkey. Mm-hmm. And, like, he did that in his special.
I wrote that, too.
So it's just weird that, you know, other people.
I think I had more stupid puns in there about stuffing and other crap, too, but it's really dumb.
Yeah. You never do the stuffed into me.
Yeah, I never did the turkey. Stupid. I started watching on Netflix another show that I think is pretty good. Is that Master of None with Aziz Ansari?
Yeah, that was a great series.
Yeah, I like that.
They made it for the second season. They're coming up for the second.
Yeah.
Oh, I like his co-star. I don't know what her name is, but I think she's so cute.
Did you watch the F is for Family with Bill Burr?
I haven't seen that.
It's pretty funny.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's like set in
a cartoon, right?
Yeah, it's like set in the 70s. Like,
it reminds me of Louis Anderson's cartoon, except more mature.
Yeah, and he can curse. And
yeah.
Kind of reminded me of my childhood a little bit.
It did?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Nah, I'm all right.
And you still recommend it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. Okay.
There's only like five episodes.
Yeah, okay. I'll check it out. He writes it? Does he voice it or anything?
He co-created.
He voices the main character.
Awesome.
I don't know if he wrote it, but doesn't matter.
No, I'll have to check that out.
Co-created.
I mean, I heard about it. I just haven't seen it. And that's on Netflix as well.
Yeah.
Right?
It's only like five episodes.
Yeah, I don't know why I haven't seen it.
I watched Hannibal Buress' special today.
How was that?
It's pretty good.
Was that on Netflix?
Yeah.
Awesome.
He released a new one, which I watched a kind of an old one, which I think I'd already seen already. Yeah, I like him.
He's very eloquent, like sum up lines.
That's but he tells a lot more stories now.
Yeah.
Mm.
Speaking of stories, did you watch Tom Segura's new special?
No. He's funny, though.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see Theo Vaughn, man. Theo Vaughn is going to have his Netflix special out at the end of this month. And, because we did that little shows together, so I got to see what he was preparing for it. I think it's really going to be funny.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really excited to watch that.
He's great.
He's so funny.
Who are some of your favorites, Dan?
Some of my favorite comics?
Yeah.
I like Hannibal Buress. I really like... God damn. I'm going to have a brain fart. I can't think.
Robert Rodriguez?
Yeah, Robert Rodriguez and his belly dance thing that he was doing. It was amazing.
Think of one comic you like.
No, it's a particular one.
The
Sleepwalk With Me guy. I'm
Mike Birbiglia?
There we go. God, I can't...
Well, that's hard to say, even.
Yeah. He's one of my favorites. I really like his style. Like, I like that storytelling style. Because when you listen to him, and he's not always funny, either. He's just...
Yeah.
Are you going in that direction with your comedy, storytelling?
I would like
not
to.
Being funny.
Not
being funny. Jeff knocks another one down.
Jesus.
I set him up this time. I didn't even mean to.
Tag team, man.
Oh, brutal. That's why you've been on this podcast more than anyone else, man.
You're a perfect guy to run. Hey, we got one more segment coming up. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide internet. Talk to you back in 3 minutes. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Film in Diego, a six-part series airing Thursday night at 11 p.m. on KPBS. Film in Diego highlights San Diego's growing film community, diverse film festivals, film history, award-winning films, and filmmakers and talent. This show is not only educational and inspiring, it will show you how diverse and talented San Diego filmmakers are. Think film and TV are just an L.A. thing? Think again. To see full episodes and clips, visit kpbs.org and search the words Film in Diego.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Last segment.
Final segment with Daniel Bublé.
So, Dan, you saying, you remember that you did do a show this week.
Yeah.
It started off a little rough for you.
Yeah, it did. I did Shamrocks up at Temecula. Shamrock's pub and grill or bar and grill. It was a good venue.
Bar show?
Bar show. Yeah, it's a bar show. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it did. It started out a little rough. I went dark. I don't usually do. I've been working on some darker stuff. And
Are you in a dark place now? Or
no, I just, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of just trying to explore different things. Because I'm trying to be more real, more and more real. Like, that joke, that particular joke is about my mom trying to guilt me into having children. And so she could have grandchildren, and then she died before that happened. And it's a real thing. That's like something my mom really did. These are things she said to me. And so I'm just trying to I guess, convey my life, you know, and some spots are dark like that, you know, but I'm trying to find the humor in it. That's
it's tough.
I'm trying to go.
Yeah,
it is.
I do that joke about my dad, like my dad putting soap in my mouth while wearing a World's Greatest Dad shirt.
Yeah.
And sometimes it works. And
did that happen? I mean, he wasn't wearing that shirt, right?
No, but
he did do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't get that?
I mean, I got it. I just was like, did he really wear the shirt?
No. Did he really wear the shirt?
It was terrible. While holding,
even if he wasn't
the soap
wearing
was
the shirt,
in the Greatest Dad mug. Yeah, too, you know?
He did used to say, "I can't wait till you're 18 so I could legally kick your ass."
I remember you telling me that. Yeah.
See, my parents were kind of like that too. Like my dad was rough. Growing up and stuff.
Did you get the soap in your mouth if you swore?
No, I got my butt whooped. My dad was not afraid to whoop me.
Okay.
Are you guys thinking, would you ever have kids yourselves, you guys?
I feel like I'm getting to the point where I'm too late for
too late?
Children. I don't know. I'm
How old are you?
I'm 37.
Gross.
I'm 37, and you say gross?
He said gross. He said gross.
Yes, children are gross. That's true. Yeah. That's a true statement.
Well, I mean, guys can have kids till they're...
Would you worry about
they
that?
They are,
would
but
you,
it's not...
Would you guys worry about, like... Since you were raised that way, passing that on to your kids?
Not at all.
Yeah.
I'm
just curious. Like, my father had an abusive parent, you know, but he was nice. He was gentle.
Yeah, but that was the norm. Like, I think all of our parents...
Oh, yeah, that was our generation.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
You know, now it's, like he was talking about, the pussification of children.
Yeah, they're so soft.
You know?
They get coddled and everything.
I try to joke a couple of times about... There's been more school shootings in, like, since 2000 than there was ever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, or even, like, 2005. It was something number like that.
Yeah.
It's because kids don't know how to react to bullying or people talking to them and keeping it real like that, you know? Yeah. And that's what their parents did back then, you know?
Yeah.
Life isn't always amazing.
Exactly. And, they're real. They told you how it is, you know, that life can be shitty, buddy. Get used to it.
But yeah,
well, I think
but
some
it can
of it
also
could
be great, too. You know, like they would teach us both sides of it.
Yeah.
I think that some of that, the pussification or whatever you call it, is
like that pussification.
Pussification is a technical term. I think the sort of increase in narcissism from social media, from everyone having a smartphone, everyone doing selfies and Instagram and Facebook and every, you know, that sort of. Everyone's a star. Everyone's on YouTube. Everybody's got, you know, their
oh, for sure.
And that sort of ego thing, I know Bob talks about that a lot, that means like everybody expects so much. They all think they're going to be...
Everybody thinks they're entitled.
Yeah.
And then...
when it doesn't go, you know, it's not a dream Disney world, then they don't react well to that.
But it also has to do with the fact that because they're always on their social media and on devices and they're not out experiencing life. Like when we were kids, we didn't have mobile devices. You know, like I wasn't allowed in the house during the day, pretty much. Like when the sun would come up, boom, I was outside. And I was lucky if I could come back in when the sun went down.
Yeah.
And our parents just let us do our thing and experience life. Now, you know, they don't go outside. Parents don't make them go outside. Some parents,
I'm sure,
won't
some
even,
parents do. I mean,
some parents won't even let their kids go out. You know, like it's
if they're named like Tristan or something.
Yeah,
stay in the house, Tristan.
No, I remember even in middle school, I couldn't talk on the phone unless my mom was like listening or whatever.
She'd be on the other line.
Well, no, but she'd be in the room.
Be in the room.
Like, yeah, baby, what are you wearing? She's like, Jeffrey.
I wasn't asking you, Mom.
But, your father's got this soap. Oh boy, here we go.
But yeah, I mean, I think I turned out fine. Yeah.
I feel the same way. I mean, for the most part, I'm okay.
You know, and it's just, I just think, because they had an interview with the mom from the Colorado shootings, and she was like, took responsibility for it and things like that, and it's like, see, you know, sometimes even my parents, like, they apologize because I drink a lot. Mm. And like, well, we gave you that genetic gene, and I'm like, it's still my choice.
Yeah.
You know, you can't blame yourselves for things, you know.
That's true.
And I just think that's... weird, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I'm with you on that. So you're on board with his whole theory of pussification then?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Would you write material on that? Or how do you think you spin that to... I mean, I do some of that with the cell phone material and the stuff about back in the day and all that
right.
stuff, too. So that's a common thing. But I always think it's funny, like, generationally, it's kind of like you know when you become an adult because you sort of... You stop updating everything. You're like, I know what I know, and that's what I like. And I'm not listening to this new music they put out, and I'm not into this new slang, and I'm still going to call them dungarees like my mom does. You know, I feel like that's not good either. Like, there should be a happy medium between, like, nostalgia for what we went through and sort of being progressive and figuring out what the new thing, what the
future. Oh, for sure. I think you should always have an open mind, you know, and experience new things as you get older. But
otherwise, because it's like when we were kids and, you know, you'd hear adults be like, these kids, you know, you never thought you would be like that later.
Right.
Being like, these whippersnappers. Now we grow up and we're like, kids today don't do what we did. You know, and it's like we're the same fucking thing. It
it's
goes on
like
and on.
It's a continuous circle that just
right.
keeps happening with every generation.
That's right. Yeah. But I think to break out of that, you have to like realize you're doing it and then go, well, let me find out what these young people are into these
right.
days.
That's why, like, you and my mom is like, you need to get a smartphone. I'm like, no, I don't want a smartphone because I like to be able to get off of the internet
right.
and not have that distraction and not have...
Well, I don't blame you for that reason. I think that's a good reason.
That is a good reason. Honestly, if I wasn't in entertainment, I would get rid of social media altogether, I think.
Yeah, I
don't
I mean,
really like it. It's like a necessary evil.
Yeah, I don't know.
We do, but...
I think I read something about how it makes you more depressed the longer you're on Facebook. You
I'll
know?
Believe it.
I unfollow people daily.
Yeah, I do.
You know, I just can't take it. You know, the negativity. Or people that are too positive I can't stand. Or people that talk about their lives too much, like divulge too much.
I'm definitely unfollowed.
I can't take that.
I don't like the vague posts, too, where they're just like, well... That sucked, or whatever.
Yeah.
Why'd you take the time to do that? It's just putting negative energy out there.
Like, for example, the way you just put in a relationship. I like that. You didn't say, I'm so overjoyed that I found a girlfriend. It's the best day of my life.
I don't think that's an option. I think you just change.
No, but
thing.
You can.
Oh,
you can? You can comment or whatever.
Yeah, you can make a post
I didn't
on
want
that.
To say.
And there's just some comments that's like, so lucky to have the love of my life today. And like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are going to be broken up in a week. And then I'm going to have to hear about, the love of my life has left me. I will hope to bring her back someday. She's like a fish and I'm the Lord. And I'll bring you back and just shut up.
I know. I think.
God,
you know,
I feel like I'm having a flashback, guys. I might have a relapse.
I've unfollowed you a long time ago.
Yeah. I mean, I do think certain things should be kept private. With that, I asked her, do you want me to do that? Do you want me to change it?
Right.
She's not on Facebook, which I like about her, too.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, I think that some of that's private.
But we are coming up to the end. Is there any message you'd like to give the people of San Diego or how you felt about your 5 years?
You want to give us all a big fuck you on the way out?
Like, I'm leaving, guys.
Give that Tupac.
Hey, guess what?
Fuck Biggie, fuck it.
Fuck Bad Boy as an organization,
you know,
as a record label.
Somebody told me I should write a big old post basically telling everybody to go F themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
in
like,
poem form. Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm still going to be the face of the festival. I don't know
if that's
a good idea to burn any bridges.
Yeah,
know?
But I mean, I think every year less and less local people kind of submit.
Yeah,
right?
It does. It is kind of getting less and less. I guess what I would say to everybody in San Diego, stop being so negative and clicky and just go be funny. Go get funny. And you got to get out of California to really, if you really want to do comedy, get out of this fake comedy in Southern California.
What do you mean by fake comedy?
Headliners don't do 15 minutes.
Right.
Comedy shows don't have 20 comics on them. They don't. You don't grow if you can't do more than 10 minutes.
Right.
Well, you need to go experience.
Where can they find you?
They can find me
in South Dakota.
South Dakota. No, I'm on Twitter at Dan Bublitz Jr.
Okay.
Twitter and Instagram.
Facebook, fine.
Yeah, Facebook. You can find me, Dan.
All right, Dan. Good luck to you.
Thank you, brother.
Been a good sport.
Thanks for doing the show.
See you next time.
Bye.